Hey, Peter.
Yes, sir.
You prefer a watermelon or a cantaloupe? And listen carefully before you answer.
I prefer an Empyrean berry or an Empyrean berry.
There you go. I'm Adam Annis.
And I'm Peter Martin.
And you're listening to the You'll Hear It podcast.
Music explored.
Explored here at Open Studio. Go to openstudiojazz.com to start your free trial. Peter, they get a free trial. Did you know that?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Who are you talking about? Everybody.
Anybody.
Everybody.
Come get a free trial to Open Studio. See what all the fuss is about.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, we don't use the word. Well, we use the word everybody, but we say...
Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. True. Also, when we're talking about like our friend Jeremy, we call him
Jeremy.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
please, before I get in trouble for calling people the wrong name.
Dude, coming up soon, you'll hear it live in New York City.
In New York City.
We want to invite everybody, but we can't.
Because it's sold out.
It's sold out. Well, it may be. We may be releasing some waitlist tickets. So check at youllhearit.com.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's great.
You look scared there.
I'm not scared. I was just going to say, go to youllhearit.com to get on the wait list. Yeah. Peter, today we're continuing our series, What Makes This Album Great?
Yes.
And today is what you were lovingly referring to as Empyrean Isles.
Well, only for the last 30 years.
It is pronounced Imperial. How do I pronounce it? Empyrean.
Empyrean.
Hold on. I have it pulled up right here because I just wanted to be sure.
Empyrean.
That's such an official Imperial. I didn't like saying like it because it sounds like Imperial.
Empyrean.
Empyrean Isles.
Okay. Imperial Isles.
Not Imperial Isles.
That seems
Isles.
Like something that the UK like, would dun, plant dun, like 7,000 miles on another planet.
Now, this is Empyrean Isles. This is a 1964 studio album by the great Herbie Hancock. Yeah. And
ever heard of him?
One of my favorites. This has some bangers on it. It's only four tracks on the original recording.
There's
a couple of different takes of One Finger Snap and Aliloquy Valley.
They're on the longer side, but still a short selections.
But it is an incredible record. So let's get right into it. We'll start with, we have our rating system here. We have our 10 categories. We have playing.
And look, we have a new bespoke
printed
page.
We have our categories, playing.
We entered into the record, the official record.
Vibe. Compositions, sound, sequence, cover art, title, lore, snobometer, and is it better than Kind of Blue?
Question.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite of these 10 criteria on our 100-point rating scale, 10 for each of the 10
I think
criteria?
Snobometer is my favorite.
That's
but
more
also,
popular.
Is it better than Kind of Blue is great.
It's
especially,
hilarious.
I assume at some point we're going to be reviewing Kind of Blue, and that's going to be an interesting question.
That's right. The machines will turn on themselves. The AI will really get us.
So let's get right to it here. So this album is, again, under Herbie Hancock's name as a leader. It has Freddie Hubbard on the trumpet, Ron Carter on the bass, Open Studio artist Ron Carter on
yes.
the bass, and Tony Williams
crazy
on the drums.
Anthony Williams, as it says on the...
Anthony Williams.
Would you call this an all-star? One of the most all-star...
Yeah. I mean, at the time, they were all very young. So, you know, they were in their early 20s, all of them.
Yeah.
And so, and I think Tony Williams was even a teenager.
I think he must have been.
At this point.
Because Herbie was like 23, 24.
Yeah.
This came out in 64.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so they're just kids making some incredible music. So our
must
first criteria is playing. And Peter, I'm going to start here. My example of how good I think the playing can be here is with the first track, One Finger Snap. Freddie Hubbard is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to stop here for a couple of reasons, right? Because this is about playing. This is about how great everybody's playing and improvisation. And I just wanted to make a note here that melody that you just heard Freddie Hubbard play, that was in the Real Book for several years.
Yes.
As the melody of the tune. That is not the melody of the tune, apparently.
It's probably still in it, isn't it?
It might be.
Yeah.
That was just the first chorus of Freddie Hubbard's solo. So the tune starts with just this. Just that figure, right? There you go. And then Freddie's just going to blow a chorus over the change. Yeah, exactly. But it's so melodic.
Yeah, when you're improvising, that could be a meme, right? When you're improvising is so good, the transcriber thinks it's part of the melody. Yeah.
And then, of course, this is the introduction of this group's rhythm section on record.
Isn't the way Ron and Tony are playing together?
It's unbelievable.
The clarity of Ron Carter. The note selection is amazing, but the clarity of his
coming here too, splashing around like crazy.
That's easy.
Yeah, I give it a 10.
Well, are you giving it away already, buddy? Come on, man.
Yeah, we give them away individually as we go.
Oh, we do. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So the thing about this, though,
we've been doing this one time, exactly once. Peter's already forgotten how it works.
Well, no, but the only thing about it is we've listened to like 30 seconds of it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's 10 out of 10.
That's a 10 out of a 10.
I've listened to this whole record a lot.
I've listened to this a million hours.
This is, in a way, that's the best play on the record.
It is.
I'm not saying it goes down.
No.
But would that warrant perhaps a 9? Because
no, this is a 10 out of 10 for playing. Okay. Just for one finger snap alone.
But actually, the quality of this, like,
all throughout is incredible.
It's great.
Our second category is vibe.
Even the alternate takes, the outtakes are really good, the play.
Agreed. Yeah. They were just...
But that's not part of our examination today.
No. Our second criteria is vibe. And for that, I thought we could go with this vibe. Woo! How's that for a vibe?
That's that a vibe. And then with the remixes in the 90s by the English DJ, set the vibe again. I mean, it's such a vibe.
Come on.
And I mean, look, Tony Williams, that drum pattern. It's like, it's the funky boogaloo thing with a little bit of the New Orleans thing. But that modern jazz vibe.
Yeah, the vibe of Tony Williams and Ron are all vibe.
Yeah.
And I think it's the vibiest battery that's ever existed.
That snare.
So for this, I'm also going 10 out of 10. And I know that's two records in a row. Our first two records have been playing in vibe 10 out of 10, but there's no denying that last week's record of Thelonious Alone in San Francisco and this are both, for me, 10 out of 10s vibe-wise.
More 9.
Controversial. You're going 9.
I'm going 9, which is an A still, I might remind you.
Okay.
But only because there isn't the huge... I don't know. I mean, it's amazing, but if everything's a 10, what you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that is the thing that pushes this album over the edge. I mean, it's got an amazing vibe, obviously. Even a 7 or an 8 would be great, I think, with the way we're going to look at this. But to me, the playing is like... is so, I mean, even amongst great players, it hits another level on this, and just in terms of like clarity and precision, but feeling and all that kind of stuff. And the vibe, great, 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 but maybe not just the vibiest record ever.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're just going on. Compositions, I thought we'd take a look at the second track, Oliloquy Valley, because I think this is a great tune.
That's not part of the melody either. That's just Freddie.
It's Freddie going, Again, so melodic.
Yeah.
So again, there are four tracks on this record. They're all Herbie Hancock original compositions. One Finger Snap, Oliloquy Valley, Cantaloupe Island, and The Egg. I'm giving this an 8 for compositions. Even though three of these you could consider jazz standards, the first three tracks, The Egg is not Herbie's strongest.
Right.
It's kind of out, which is great, but it just doesn't...
It's an interesting place to end the record.
It is an interesting place to end the record, but I think it's the weakest composition on here.
And it's long.
And even like One Finger Snap, Oliloquy Valley, Cantaloupe Island, they're solid, simple compositions, but I don't think they're even in Herbie's pantheon of compositions. I think there's better simple compositions than all three of these.
Mm.
So I'm giving it, I still think it's great.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
But it's an 8 for me.
So I'm going 9 because, I mean, first of all, it's just not a lot of compositions, which doesn't necessarily take away, but I agree that they're not all, like to be a 10, it's got to be all like his top four compositions, which I wouldn't say this is. But I would say that at least two of them are among the top. That's why I'm going a little higher maybe than you.
Yeah.
I do think that like something can be lost in the simplicity of like one finger snap, because basically it's a quick line, but a really interesting set of chord changes, kind of in the way that like Flamenco Sketches is just a set of chord changes.
I've played it on every single trio gig I've played in the last 8 years, probably. Yeah. I love it so much.
And Cantaloupe Island is probably one of the most important, and I think great compositions. It's easy to, and when we get to number nine, our snobometer, we'll see what happens down there.
Yeah,
but I mean, because it's such a hit and it's kind of considered like a throwaway to some serious jazz cats, but I think it's very strong. There's a simplicity on here, Aliloque Valley as well. And then the egg is so different. Anyway, I think the compositions are super strong. Not perfect, but to me, still in the A category.
Our next criteria is sound. Let's stick with the egg for this.
Sound is the most subjective.
It is.
Wow.
I'm going eight. It's a tough one. So this is a Rudy Van Gelder piano, obviously, which is notorious for...
And this is, we should note, this, what we're listening to here is a Rudy Van Gelder remaster from 99, which has kind of become the standard.
Yeah.
You know, which is always interesting for an engineer to come back 30 years later, you know, with a remaster. But
there's some really great things to how this sound. The drums sound amazing.
Yeah.
As all of Rudy Van Gelder's recording, the drums and bass are like all on point. The piano for a pianist record is a little thin for me. It's a little not in the forefront on the mix.
Yeah. So that's interesting, because I don't know if we've talked about this a lot. That's exactly, I gave it an eight. Yeah. And that's how I feel. I love the drum sound on this record.
It's incredible.
A lot of Van Gelder. Again, sometimes the drums, but you never know if it's the instrument or
If we go back to this.
Right? Freddie, like it doesn't.
No, loud light cymbal is.
I know. But I think it's like the separation on it is so good. The spacing of the drums, I think, is genius. You know, the pan.
And the piano sounds like it's in a little can.
Yeah, the piano is like a little left of center, I think. Yeah. And I love the bass on it. I love three out of the four instruments, and I think that they're probably the best. I mean, there's many other records where they're similar with these same musicians and probably same instruments, same engineer, same studio. But the piano to me is, if I was just doing the sound of the piano, I'd give it a six.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a five.
Yeah, but
I'm just not a huge fan.
I mean, this is an engineering thing. There's trade-offs, right?
Yeah.
And so Van Gelder always traded off the piano sound and how big of a footprint it took up in the mix with the drums.
Right, but I don't think he saw it as, or has seen it as a trade-off. Oh, saw it as a trade-off, but that's another discussion. But I think overall, I mean, the record sounds amazing. Like, you hit three out of four, it's kind of like, you know, and the mix is amazing. Same room, same
vibe. Reverb sounds incredible. I think this is like the sound of it is why the vibe is a 10 for me.
Yeah.
Because the compositions and the playing are so good, but also the sound, the combination of it. But because of that piano sound, I gotta take some points off. Next up, Peter, is sequence. So the sequence of the album. So we've got One Finger Snap to kick it off, Aliloque Valley, Cantaloupe Island, and then The Egg. I'm giving the sequence a 10 because these four tracks, I think this is the perfect sequence for this. I can't imagine it another way.
Well, okay, I'll agree. If these are the four tracks, I'd say 10. I'm going with 7 on this, actually.
What?
Because I feel like the transition from Aliloque Valley to Cantaloupe Island, aren't they both in the same key and have some like melodic and harmonic content?
Let's hear
similar?
The end of Aliloque.
I think it fades. Yeah, I mean, it ends there, but most of it is, and then, like, there's some similarities that are great, and the fade, I'm not crazy, I don't know why, on this album, sometimes the fades work great. To me, it's just, it's not perfect.
I think it's perfect. I think it's, I don't know where you would you do Cantaloupe Island second?
This would also be turning the record over is the way it was originally intended.
Right.
So there's that, too. But that's what I'm saying. You're saying it's because with these four tunes, I think part of the sequence is composition selections. There's like a certain diversity between those tunes that I need, that I'd like to be able to hear. But yeah, correctly. I mean, if we have these four songs, this is the perfect order. I mean, the record starts, the sequence, and look, the beginning and the end of a record, I think, is the most important part of the sequence. You know what? Can I make an adjustment?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to 8.
There you go.
It's still, I think it's not perfect, but it's certainly not bad, but it just has a few minor flaws to me.
So I put it as a 10 for the sequence. Peter put it as an 8. Next up, Peter, is the cover art.
Yeah.
So you can Google this cover art for Empyrean Isles. It is a classic Blue Note. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we're putting it up here on screen for YouTube. We got it. This is definitely an old vintage copy.
Is this out of your DJ, your case there?
Yeah, straight out of the producer Caleb's own crate.
Great. It was stolen recently and then returned. Is that gentleman been convicted yet? Or gentle lady? We can't talk about that, can we? Oh, he dropped the charges. Okay. He's dropping the charges like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Peter, so this is classic Blue Note, right? Where they have the color, I forget what they call that, the color saturation on the entire thing, and it's blue. Yeah. I'm putting it at a 7.
Ooh.
I love the Blue Note album covers, but I think this is so, I don't know. Maybe I just don't get this one. It looks like water with some little plants in front of it, but
yeah.
I think it's a vibe, but it's not as strong.
It's all right.
It's all right. Yeah.
That's interesting. I put 7 as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's nothing offensive about it. I love the font, which is the Blue Note font, I believe. I love the logo. I don't mind that like Herbie's not there or the musicians, although that's always fun. But I'm like, if you're not going to have the cats on there, you got to bring the fire. And to me, this didn't quite bring the fire, although it fits the album. And I mean, I've listened to this on vinyl a lot and held the album and loved it.
No,
there's
it
nothing
does.
Like...
It fits the vibe.
But how much of that is like that the album has such great playing, such a vibe, then you associate it with that.
It's not a bad album cover, but it's also not a great album cover.
I love, one thing I do like about it, and maybe would actually, that's probably keeping it from being a 5 or 6 to me, is that you're having, like the way that the spacing on the font is really cool with Herbie, like the sideman, the leader, but just having everybody's name there, but the size of that.
I love having everybody's name on
there's
it.
There's a balance to the font. Like that to me is the best part of the album. But yeah, the image is not the strongest, I think.
Next up is the title, Empyrean Isles.
Empyrean Isles.
And Peter says Empyrean Isles.
Well,
so,
I did until today.
I'm also going 7 on the title. It's a good title, but I don't think, obviously it's hard to remember because Empyrean means heavenly or of the sky, apparently, as a definition. And it's a word that I don't really use a lot. Because I'm not a very smart person, but and Herbie is, so he probably uses it all the time. But I think it's good. It's evocative for sure. It's evocative, just Empyrean Isles. When you say it, you know, as poetry, it's evocative. Empyrean Isles. But yeah, 7. I think good, not great.
Okay, I'm going 9. And part of that is because now not only am I feeling confident because I know how to say it, Empyrean. Isles, but one thing
he just learned how to say.
I just learned how to say. That's what raised it up. I was going to go 8, and I'm like, no, I'm feeling more confident. I remember when I first heard. I love that it is mysterious.
Yeah,
and makes you want to kind of learn about something, and maybe has like, and what to us is more of an esoteric connection with the music, but I'm sure to Herbie was probably more. And I'm just remember. I think on the back liner notes it talks about there's some story or something that kind of connects with it. So that could be part of the fun with it. But I think that it sounds cool. It sounds, you know, even when I was calling it Empyrean Isles, like it makes you want to go in and discover the music without saying cool, hip jazz, man. You know, like we're just describing what it is. Freddie's Killing. And then the tunes, like the names of the tunes, I think it kind of, I remember being like, Cantaloupe Island, is that part of the Empyrean Isles off the coast of Greece?
Well, that's another reason why I kind of took it down a notch, because it's the Isles, and then it's Cantaloupe Island, and I was like,
But one finger snap, I'm in a Liquid Valley on the Empyrean Isle. I don't know, it had a cool kind of mystical vibe to it.
You know, maybe we should change this title category to titles, because you could also do song titles as part of the whole overall vibe.
Oh, but we muddle the waters, don't we?
Okay, next up is Lore.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't think this has some lore, but it actually has a somewhat interesting story in that this was released and recorded before this rhythm section of Herbie, Ron, and Tony released a studio album with Miles Davis. Their first studio album, ESP, would come out after this. So this is like the preview of the Miles Davis quintet rhythm section.
That's before Sorcerer, ESP?
I believe so.
That was the first, the first studio album.
It says 6 months after recording Empyrean Isles, Herbie, Ron, and Tony would record ESP with Miles Davis, the first of 6 studio albums by Davis' second great.
So it's before they even recorded it.
Yeah.
So this must have been recorded in 63 then.
It says it recorded June 64.
Empyrean Isles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And released the same year.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Released in November. It's a quick turnaround time. But I think that's great lore. I'm giving a 9 for the lore because...
You say quick turnaround time on that?
Yep. That's really nice. So it must have been organized. The lore on this, I think, is 9 because of that. Because of these young musicians who are probably currently still like, you know, that story goes, they're probably still in Miles's apartment basement. Yeah. Like playing together, figuring their stuff out, and they record this album for Herbie's Blue Note. I got to check Herbie's autobiography because I know he talks extensively about this period of time in his autobiography.
Yeah.
And so we should check that out. But I love that story that they recorded this before they recorded ESP.
Yeah. So I find that interesting too. I'm going to go 8 just because I'm not quite as bowled over by that. But I would say the reason, I don't know, the lore for me is maybe a little bit more about the music and kind of the way I first experienced this record, like, because I thought, like, I had heard this rhythm section. Like, it's funny how we talk about the order now, because I'm relating it to the order that I heard the record. So I had heard, like, Miles Davis' My Funny Valentine, which actually probably was right from around the same time when they played live at Lincoln Center with same band.
That's right.
But I heard that album before, so I always associated this as later. You know what I mean? Because I didn't experience this record as much. And I was kind of like, this is one of the first records I heard Freddie Hubbard on. I remember that because I loved Herbie, I loved Ron, and I loved Tony. And I'd even heard like McCoy Tyner and Elvis. I'd seen those Blue Note records, but I was like, oh, those aren't as good because Herbie's my guy. You know?
My Funny Valentine was recorded in February 64 before this was recorded, but wasn't released till 65.
I mean, you know what's so great is like that year, that time with this rhythm section, with Miles, with this record, with other ones, like there's so many recordings. There's so many stories, that there's so many videos. It's such a great, you know, of these really young musicians that sculpted the sound that to this day is probably the most, especially from a rhythm section standpoint, the most influential thing, especially on pianists, but everybody. I mean, Tony Williams, right? I mean, to this day, I mean, yeah. Anyway, so I'm going 8 on the lore.
Next up, Peter, this is our most vague category, is the snobometer.
Is it vague or is it very specific?
And I don't know what to make of this because... obviously, Cantaloupe Island is on this album, right? So you would think this would be low on the snobometer. Like, Aunt Linda would love Cantaloupe Island. It's so groovy. And
please refresh people, because I know it seems like we've been doing this series forever.
So a snobometer means, like, the higher it is on the snobometer, the more just snobs would like the album. And the lower it is, it means the more, like, you know, generally accepted.
Aunt Linda is our straw man.
She's our avatar for that. Or my mother, I think, would be another good one, you know. So... my mother, who I love very much, but when I first played her Kind of Blue, because she wasn't really ever into jazz, she loved the first few solos, and then when Train solo came on, she was like, I don't understand what's happening. You know, so sweet.
Who walked into the studio and ruined the session?
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's the greatest art that's ever been made. What are you talking? But I don't know, man, because this would be low on the stopometer, I feel like on the lower end, but then that would give it a lower score. But I don't think we want the snobometer to drain the score of a record.
What did we do last week on our inaugural?
I put it pretty high on the snobometer because it's Monk, and I feel like Monk is another one that's not
that
accessible.
That one was easier than this, because this is both has elements that are accessible, but it starts out super. Aunt Linda might not ever make it to Lilqui Valley or Cantaloupe Island, because like those are both very low, 2 and 3 tracks. Lilqui Valley and Cantaloupe Island, I would say, are low on the snobometer.
But,
is that correct?
Yeah, but one finger's the egg is super high.
Exactly. So the outer, it's like a snob sandwich.
Let's do this. So this is only our second version of this series, so we can definitely mold this. I feel like the snobometer, regardless of how general it is, regardless of, we're just going to forget Aunt Linda, right? Like,
no, that's literally the
it's not.
The foundation that we built the snobometer.
Even though it's general, do jazz snobs like this record? And I think that's a big yes. I think because of One Finger Snap and even Cantaloupe Island, I think jazz snobs still love this album. It's not, say, like, I'm going to put it
out
here.
7. I'm going 7 because I think you're right, but there is a little bit of a raising of the nose because of Cantaloupe Island.
It's going to be interesting again when we get to Kind of Blue or Time Out, right? Like Time Out would be an interesting one. Do jazz snobs like Time Out? Yeah. I think the answer is not.
Well, that's why
much.
We have a grading of 1 to 10. So I'm going 7 on the snob.
I'm going 8 on the snobometer.
Okay.
I'm going 8 on the snobometer. And our final one, and this is a yes or no. It's worth 10 points if it's yes, 0 if it's no. Is it better than Kind of Blue? And I'm going to put no.
It's I'm saying zero. Although I think it's great. And did I say yes last week?
You did say yes last week.
Okay. So it's not bold. That I'm going to always say Kind of Blue is.
No, me neither. I agree that Kind of Blue is not the greatest album ever made for me, but this is not better than Kind of Blue, in my opinion.
Is the playing on this better though?
No.
Some good playing on here.
There's some train and Cannonball on, and Miles Davis on, right. on Kind of
but
Blue.
But that's the thing. We're taking all this, like, obviously, for me at least, KOB on Vibe, that's one that's going to be 10. I mean, how is that not 10?
Yeah.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves?
listener, do not worry. We have KOB on the docket. It's going to be a few weeks in. We'll do Kind of Blue. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of 10s on Kind of Blue, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. Shall we add them up?
Let's add up our score.
You go first.
Well, we go together.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I already forgot. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
I went first last week. You go. I think whoever brings in the album goes last. So you go
okay.
first.
Okay, so I added up my scores, but I did it in reverse mathematical order. So I did how many points I took off. So hopefully this is correct. So like playing, I had 10. Vibe, I had 9. So I said minus 1. Then I said minus 1 composition. Anyway, I got to 75 out of 100.
Favorite track?
Favorite track, O Lil Cui Valley.
Nice.
Yeah, this was hard. Nice. I like all of them.
Yeah, I got to 77 out Ooh. Of 100. Favorite track, One Finger Snap.
I would note that we both have a C this week, so I'm a little bit...
It's not a C. It's not like the American education system, Peter. We don't have to think about it like
Back in your wine drinking days, would you have purchased a wine that on the Wine Spectator scale scored 77 out of 100?
Buddy, I was drinking a ton of things that were 77 out of 100 because I was drinking a lot of cheap wine, so you know what I mean.
This is not a cheap record.
This is not a cheap record at all, but I think... It's good to keep the quality like hard to achieve, right? Yeah. And actually, you know what's really bringing down the scores is the KOB.
It's like, if it's not better zero. Than KOB, it can't be an A.
I know.
That's the crazy
That's
part.
The crazy. If it's got to be better, which actually kind of makes sense because I have a feeling KOB is going to end up around 90, right? So if it's better than KOB, it's got a chance to be in those upper 90s.
So KOB is going to be perfect on everything except is it better than KOB? It's just going to, it can't be better than itself.
Bam.
So, interesting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because KOB is the zero, right?
Right.
So
we've had some rating reviews of recent.
Oh, interesting.
And while I pull that up, would you do me a favor, my friend?
Yeah.
Tell them about Gala, because we've had some renewed interest
well,
in that.
Well, Peter, the Gala.
Gala, sorry.
Gala. Gala?
We don't know. We don't care.
Gala?
Gala.
The Gala.
I'm going
is the,
to the Gala.
It's the Gentlemen and Ladies Agreement.
Yes, sir.
We provide you with this podcast. You.
For free, although it's not
it's
free.
It's not free because you are. Yeah, if you want to adhere to the agreement, go to YouTube and in this episode and leave us a comment. Actually, if you want to, Caleb, could we maybe put our template for what makes this album great? Maybe a download the PDF of our template and no,
it's proprietary.
It is proprietary. Okay, but maybe you give
maybe
us your score.
We'll
they can give us their
give
own
us your
scores.
Score on
yeah.
This.
Yeah, what's your score on this album?
Yeah,
if you were to give it, and you could do, and maybe the playing vibe, composition, sound sequence, cover art, title, lore, snapometer. Is it better than KOB? Give us your score. All of it is 1 out of 10. And yeah.
Cool.
And your favorite track.
All right, cool. And if you want to go next level and leave us a review, go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to this or wherever you don't. And we read every review, or at least that's our new thing. We're going to do that. Yesterday we had, that would be April 1st. We're going to read that review, baby. From Poopsie123. 7 stars. Jazz dude's killing it. Actually, helpful advice. Is that a backhanded compliment or a compliment sandwich? Actually, 2 days ago from NeenerB23, inspiring pod, 5 stars. From your one subscriber from Leonard Wood. Shout out Leonard Wood, Illinois, right?
Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. You continue to push me musically, but I enjoy the hang with Peter and Adam. Thanks for being a blessing to other musicians. Thank you. And then from JJ54321 from Canada, Snobometer rating 7.5 out of 10.
What?
My jazz chops aren't great. Heck, I don't even play piano. But somehow I still feel welcome and like I can pull useful nuggets from each episode. Go Nuggets, Joker, shout out. This show keeps me inspired to keep practicing and learning. Not sure what I mean? Have a listen. You'll hear it. A All right, so we do it. Do we have any other ones? Keep playing, my brother. Oh, do they do we ho? Shuba do ba hee ho. Boo do ba wee, boo do boo 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 wee. That's it. We read the other ones. Till next time.
You'll hear it.